Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Every sport has its network. If you're willing to pay for it, Boston has the sports hub that brings you the Pats, the Bruins, the Celts, and the Reds from preseason to the final second for free. Boston's home for sports is 98.5, the sports hub.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the sports hub.
So, how's your day going so far?
Mediocre. Mediocre. Hardy's taking great joy in it, I can tell.
Coffee all over myself. You know what happened?
What?
I had an iced coffee in my hand.
Yeah?
Hand around the top of the lid, and it just, I think maybe grazed the corner by the back door on the building.
Yeah.
And the whole cup fell from the lid. I still had the lid and the straw in my hand.
That's your fault.
And the whole cup detached and went everywhere.
Gotta hold it underneath.
I know. Should have held it like this.
Oh, like a man.
Like this and not like this.
Someone turn Hardy's mic on, please.
Is his mic broken?
Who knows?
T-Bone, did you figure it
now.
Out? There
it's
he is.
Now.
Oh, wow.
There
wow.
he is.
Rough start.
You
today.
Don't... What? I don't what?
You don't get on.
You're not allowed to speak.
I don't control the button in there. I know. That's you.
You're Sarge today. He's Sarge today.
We got a new face in here today, too. Yeah, huh? A new guy.
Should we get to that right away?
Yeah. If you want to.
Let's do it right away.
Put him on the mic right now.
This is going to speak volumes about the mood and the tone and everything going on with this show today.
You know how distracting this is for me?
And always. Well, I know it's going to be distracting for you, but let's begin with this. Associate producer, who have you met on the show before this morning?
Just you.
Just me?
Yeah. And that was about 15 years ago.
Okay, so I don't feel bad.
15 years ago.
So we all walk into the room today. There's this kid
Jeff,
sitting
the
there.
Way.
Who?
Jeff.
Jeff. No word of an introduction or anything from our producer, T-Bone.
Of course not. He's
he just
mute.
Sits there. There's this like stranger sitting in our show meeting, and T-Bone doesn't say a word to me, Zoe, or Beetle.
I thought he was like one of Adam Cole's guys. I thought he was like a 92.9 guy.
That's T-Bone to a T, though.
So here's the part where T-Bone...
It was in your notes yesterday, if you read them.
Here's the part where T-Bone says it's not my job to do that. Really? Go ahead.
Look at go ahead.
It is my job. I put it right at the... It's
really?
The
look at our text chain today.
Oh, you didn't read the notes? What?
What's in our...
Shut up, I read the notes, a-hole.
Highly
just
doubtful.
Because somebody else is invited from... Do you think I'd read every name
highly
at the top?
Doubtful.
Are you talking about in Slack?
Yes!
Yeah. I skip to the stories.
No kidding.
I start reading the prep.
You're supposed to read the very top.
And obviously, Beetle didn't read it either. Otherwise, he'd know who it is.
But you need to see who's invited to the text chain.
All right, well...
All right, good to know.
There's
good to know. I won't do that anymore.
Yeah, it's irrelevant who's on... Yeah. As long as we get the
Jeff slack. Williams in for Lout. That explains a brand new person who's never worked on
it
the
doesn't.
Show before.
It absolutely does not.
It's a name.
And yet, yeah, and you can't say, Hardy, it's Jeff. Oh, nice to meet you, Jeff. And then Jeff says, actually, I met you 15 years ago.
I stared at him
and
for 15 minutes in there.
Okay. It's unbelievable. This is people skills.
This is, and I blame, it starts at the top. It does. And this is part where corporate Louth is responsible for this. Because corporate Louth has created and enabled T-Bone.
Yeah, you're right. You are right.
You're right.
Do you learn from people that teach you things?
Yes. But I think Louth would have introduced us.
Well, then the mentor has not passed on his ways.
I guess not. So, Jeff, you and I met 15 years ago?
Where, at River Rave?
I can't hear him.
So the mic's not working, T-Bone. You don't have his mic on.
Go ahead.
I was trying to get into radio back in 2005, and I needed to interview somebody in the business, and you were the only one that reached back out to me and invited me over to the station at the old building. And
you were really awesome. Everyone loves him. He's great.
Class act. Hardy's a class act.
I thought you guys might have smoked a bong at River Rave or something.
No.
That's good. That's excellent story.
And I gave you such good advice that 15 years later, you're associate producer to a guy who won't even introduce you to the show that you're working on.
It took me a little bit, but, you know.
Good business, huh?
When did you start here?
It'd be 2 years in October.
Jesus Christ.
Doing what?
The overnights. I help Howie with Bruins games.
Oh, you're one of those little Bruin gnomes, huh?
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing the overnights and helping out with Howie, and everything sounds good. Wow.
You never thanked me for doing the overnights.
Little Bruin gnome that worked the Felger and Mass show? Always wore Bruin shirts.
Oh, Bruin's Brad?
He looked like he never showered. Yeah, maybe. Always had, like, T-shirts.
He did overnights here for, like, a month.
Bruin's Brad, you're right.
Bruin's Brad.
Yeah.
Is that who you're thinking of?
Yeah.
And
got another one here.
Scaramuzzino was doing overnights for a bit, wasn't he? Is he still doing it?
He still does them.
He still does them? Okay.
What about the captain?
No, captain hasn't been here in a while.
Oh, all right. Well, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Jeff, good to get you in the daytime hours.
Is that J-E-F-F or G-O-F?
No, it's not C. I hate that. It's J-E-F-F.
I'm glad you do.
What are you putting in your black book?
No, I'm just making sure he's not like a millennial, Jeff.
Oh, my God.
No,
if he was a G-O-F...
Geoff.
Zoe would make his life an even bigger
hell. He would be Geoff. Geoff. I'm going to be creating Geoff. Name the kid Geoff, but it's Geoff.
Right.
It's like Mark of the K or C, right?
It's a problem. It's a problem, Zoe. It's a problem.
I know.
I've told you, man. It's a problem.
Scott with one T.
That doesn't exist, okay?
Yes, but it does.
It doesn't.
But it does. That's a thing.
Give me a break.
It's also a problem, but it is a thing.
No, it's not a problem. It's just something that's stupid.
All right. We have plenty to get to today.
Sure do.
plenty.
All evidence to the contrary.
Can we put Josh Fowler and company, can we put that on the back so people can see that?
Welcome to the I mean, hey, I was the first one in the building. I was the first on-air guy in the building today. I give the kid credit. Because he just came in and sat down, act like he was part of the room. Just came in.
Well,
the green
he is
room.
Part. He's been here for a couple of years. He's been working here. He's already on staff. The fact that we haven't met him made it a little bit awkward to sit in a show meeting with him without being introduced to him.
I felt comfortable. I ripped a couple right in front of him.
We're all terrified.
No problem.
We were all terrified that we had met
Take
him before.
Take a picture with the Jeff Williams sign, so.
I can't.
Get right in there. I got it. I got it. Get right in there, bud. I get the.
We're all terrified that we had met him before and didn't want to introduce ourselves and look like an ass.
I blame Loth because Loth does the schedules too.
It's not
He's trying to throw
fault.
No, this is Loth trying to take throw a wrench in the show today. And I'm not getting distracted by this. The good thing for Jeff is he's not an intern. I don't have to rename him today.
Jeff, you have Twitter?
I do.
What's your handle?
At Bruins Champs.
No, at JM Will 98.5.
Okay.
Jeez, he's even got 98.5 in his handle.
Look at that.
He got that.
You know, I started that.
2 years.
I was the first one.
Oh, yeah, you're the best. Yeah, yeah.
What's your Twitter handle, T-Bone?
T-Morgan 98.5.
Damn it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we get that out of the way, Hardy's a little feisty today. So you could tell.
No,
really?
I did.
He's a little feisty today.
I did feel bad about you dropping your coffee. That
you did? Thank you.
Yeah.
It sucked.
Definitely. That does suck.
That's the worst. Yeah. All right. We are going to talk about college football. It's a big story this morning. A lot of people talking about it. It's always fired up about
it. Yeah, a lot of people are pissed off. Obviously, I know a kid. And UMass, it's official. So UMass not playing this fall. That broke about 15 minutes ago.
And there will be fallout from this at a various number of programs. But we're talking about the big ones. And also, of course, playoff start for the Bruins tonight. We'll get to that a little later on.
I'm fired up for that first couple shifts because we're going to find out whether stay tuned or not.
617-779-0985. We'll get into the college football stuff coming up next.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
College football is up in the air right now. I think that's the best way to put it. Nothing's really decided one way or the other. The ACC says they're going forward, so they're going to play games.
Good for them.
They're going to play games. ESPN with a report about what it is that is weighing on conference officials and athletic directors.
Now, real quick, I say good for them if the data supports their side as to the direction they want to head in. Because this is all based on data, right? And if you've been able to somewhat keep it down within your own system and how you're approaching the season. Because a lot of teams, these college teams, these kids have been in the bubble, their bubble that their own university has created for over 2 months now to get ready to play college football. And they've been gearing it up. They've controlled it pretty damn nicely.
ESPN reports that the uncertainty about the long-term effects of myocarditis locally, Eduardo Rodriguez dealing with for the Red Sox.
Sure.
Has been discussed in meetings of presidents and chancellors, commissions and commissioners, that is, and athletic directors and health advisory board members as well from the Big Ten, Pac-12, and other conferences around the country.
Yeah.
Last week, college administrators saw a Facebook post from Debbie Rucker, the mother of Indiana offensive lineman Brady Feeney, who wrote that her son was dealing with potential heart problems after battling COVID-19. There's also a lineman from Houston who has announced he will not play this year because he contracted COVID-19 in June and now has a heart issue as a result. There are at least five players in the Big Ten, at least five Big Ten athletes who have had myocarditis now as a result of COVID-19.
Yeah,
and there's another report that there were at least seven more elsewhere in other conferences.
And it makes them high-risk patients now, and they need to be monitored. I would make sure, excuse me, that their positions and their scholarships are secure with those schools. You take care of those kids now. They came there to be student-athletes and play football for you. They got sick, and now I would not want those kids to play if they have an issue.
Well, they can't play.
Correct. But, I mean, see, there's this big thing coming, the backlash coming to schools. Well, what is our positioning going to be? It's not like the NFL where we could, you know, acquire a stipend and pay it back at a future date. We have no money. We're here. We committed to play here. You should be able to secure your scholarship for the remainder if you never play again, is what I'm saying. Say this kid's a sophomore, and he elects, you know what, I'm not playing anymore. You should take care of the kid for the rest of school.
You know, I just think the reality is that in a very litigious society, mm-hmm. that if someone is to contract COVID-19 because they went out and played football, which isn't to say they wouldn't have contracted it otherwise anyway in everyday life,
right.
But they will make the claim that because it was their playing football that caused it, that the school would then be responsible for compensation, for medical costs, forever. I mean, here's the thing. It's not really known.
What if the kid got four concussions playing 4 years at a university, and then he found out he's got CTE?
Sure.
Eight years later.
Well, they're now they've been suing for that. I know you know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? There are multiple lawsuits related to that. So I think that that's maybe what could be on the minds of all these conferences and these schools. They don't know the long-term impact of this the way nobody else knows. And so they're thinking, if we're responsible for this, for someone getting sick, we're going to be held liable for it. That's how the athletic directors and school presidents will look at it.
Yeah,
that's what they're going to factor in. I think Zoe has something going on here. You all right?
Yeah.
Got a corn. You okay, curl. Tickles?
I'm fine.
You all right?
No comment.
Want some warm sink water?
I'd like, yeah. Hey, Geoff, why don't you maybe get some water from the bubbler for me? Thank you. I'm good. We're good.
Yeah?
Cough right into my hand. Yeah. That's right.
Shut up, Tom. You teach him nothing.
So what would you do, Zoe? What's your thought on this?
I would say if these kids, and if you've done this for 2 months now, and I personally know one that's been in it out at UMass, and they've been basic quarantine for 2 months. They've been going 11 on 11. They've been doing their workouts. And as of 2 weeks ago, there were no infections. They had a couple at the beginning. They locked those kids down. They figured out what groups they were working in. And right now there's none. You look at Notre Dame, none. And you see the responses by the quarterback from Notre Dame. You see the quarterback from Clemson. We'll get to Nick Saban. Scott Frost, who I played with the Jets briefly, head coach at Nebraska now, they're looking to play elsewhere because they want to play. They don't have any infections. The National Hockey League has tested over, 8,000 times? No infections. That's the perfect bubble. And MLB, other than the Marlins and St. Louis, it's kind of quieted down there with other teams contracting it. We don't hear much about it. The NFL, we know where they're heading. They're going to play. So, I mean, if you're smart about it, and here's the thing for me, too. I heard this from a couple kids, and he's got some friends from the kid I know that said, you're going to send us home? You know what? We live in Florida. We're in Jacksonville. We're going to beaches. Sat here for 2 months during the summer, concentrating, getting ready to play football, taking care of ourselves. And now you tell us we can't play. So now all of a sudden we got two or three weeks of summer left before school starts. We're going to go home. You're going to send us home. We put all our time and effort into this. We want to play. We want to play the season. Let us play. I think they should let the kids play. And if there becomes outbreaks and issues, shut it down. But give them a shot. I mean, MLB's pushing forward. We thought 3 weeks ago, the commissioner from MLB is saying, get your programming ready for all the networks that carry games for Monday because we might not have a season. And they pushed through it. And they're still having a season. And it looks like baseball's going to get through it.
Scott Frost, who you mentioned, you played with him?
Yeah, down at the Jets briefly.
He's the head football coach in Nebraska now. Mm-hmm. And he said that they're prepared to look at all options, including playing outside of the Big Ten. Quote, we're a proud member of the Big Ten. We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I think the only reason we would look at any other options is for some reason the Big Ten wasn't playing. And only a handful of teams from the Big Ten want to continue playing. I think if that's the case, we're prepared to look at any and all options. Huh. What else about his comment struck you? I mean, he's not the only one saying this. Ohio State, Ryan Day at Ohio State Harbaugh. Has indicated the same thing. Harbaugh, his comments.
Penn State wants to play. Their quarterback, their middle linebacker, top five pick in the draft next year, wants to play. These guys want to play.
I know that Hardy's no Jim Harbaugh fan, but he said that he would like to address the rumors that are swirling and said, I'm not advocating for football this fall because of my passion or our players' desire to play, but because of the facts accumulated over the last 8 weeks since our players returned to campus June 13th.
I think 90% of what he wrote is excellent. And if it's true, more power to him, but he makes a very compelling case.
Which part did you disagree with?
At the very end, when he quotes one of the Roosevelts, Teddy, I think this time, after Brady quoted FDR a couple of months ago, what is it with these Wolverines?
What's with
idiots?
The Michigan guys?
Yeah, thinking they add gravitas to their statement.
Eleanor Roosevelt, play football. She's the wife. Right?
Yeah, who's FDR, lovely man, but the wife. Oh. Yeah, why do they think that adds credibility to it? You know what, Jim? Just say what you said. Huh. You know, and when you go over, I know you're getting ready to go over all that stuff, Beetle, but I think he makes a compelling argument.
I am quoting President Theodore Roosevelt.
Not that part.
We do this so that our place will not be among the cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat.
Why do you have to quote people to support your quote? Why don't you just
especially
quote
you're talking them? About going to football practice.
I know. I hate, y'all. I hate when people do quote things.
Oh, he's the ridiculous. Worst. So but every other thing he wrote about the fact that they've had very few positive tests, mm-hmm. that they've only had a handful in the last 400 tests or, you know, 400 and change, the last 300 and change, no positive tests, that no staffer or coach, they haven't been able to prove any contact tracing back to the department. He is among the coaches who makes the case, and again, he makes a good one, that what we're doing here within the confines of our own bubble and doing our thing here is safer for, if you're talking about the health of the individual here, it's safer than sending all these kids home and letting them go out and do whatever they want and blah, 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 blah. Absolutely. I think you can make a strong case that keeping a team together, whether it's on a college football team or professional baseball team, whatever, keeping the guys together and testing them every day and monitoring their whereabouts. Yes, it keeps that faction of the public safe. I don't disagree with that.
Right.
I
would just say that football, college football has more of an ability to sort of lock down their guys.
Yeah.
Right? They do.
They have.
More so than the NFL.
Yeah. The delay in spring and not being able to practice and do spring ball and all that stuff, they had these kids sequestered prior to the 4th of July. So they've taken away 2 months of their summer. So now you've trained, and you've trained them how to take care of themselves and how to be smart and what to watch out for and how to prepare, how to wash your hands, how to wear this face mask, how to jog through masks and deal with it in 90 degrees.
But Michigan has had,
and you're ready to go.
Michigan has had 8 players contract COVID while at Michigan.
Correct. And LSU had, 35 at the beginning of this?
He's throwing out all these facts about, dude, we've administered all these tests. Okay, you had 3 guys come back to campus with it, and you've had 8 guys contract it while they were there at your program. So slow your roll now on how great you are at stopping COVID, right? Because you had 8 players. How many players do they have?
I'm not saying they're going to stop COVID.
How many players do they have?
You've got to learn to live with it.
How many players do they have there? Yeah. Yeah, everybody heard that.
T-Bone. I can't talk back to T-Bone without you guys hearing me. Yeah. How many players did they have test positive was your question?
No, I know how many. They had 11 total, 8 of which happened after they arrived.
Right.
3 arrived and tested positive upon arrival.
Yes.
And then 8 more additional.
Yeah. Which isn't bad over there. I mean, when you're talking the sheer number of people. Now, the one thing that he said that I don't know, I don't know what numbers he's using when he says that, you know, their positive test rate is lower than that of the general public. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if that was him or if it was Nick Saban who said that.
Yeah, I don't think
Saban,
that's true. I don't believe it's true.
I don't think
that was the point I was going to make. Like, out of what? You got 125 players there?
Yeah, but you're testing.
Including all the non-scholarship guys.
The big programs, you're testing between 200 and 300 people every time you test.
Right, but no, it's been all players. So they don't have 300 players there.
No, but
they've got 11 positive tests.
When you're dealing with
people
in the building, the people in the building are getting tested also.
Yeah, and they've all been negative.
Yes.
So it's been a player issue, which is just my point of saying it's not foolproof. Like, you can't make the case that you're better than anyone else or that it's foolproof. It's not.
No, but you could play and potentially keep the number down.
Let's talk more about it, because I think that there is obviously a case to be made that they can tell guys to, you're on lockdown. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
If you want to play, you've got to be locked up here, wherever. Wherever it is they decide to put them.
This is like a Hail Mary. And that's like college football is dead. Maybe it isn't.
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on this. Should college football go forward with their season? And how does the NFL avoid the issues that college may have already had or is trying to get through? We're talking about that to start the day. We'll unbox some items at 10:50.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Peter. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub.
We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I hope that's what happens. Our university is committed to playing no matter what, no matter what that looks like and how that looks. We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options.
That's Scott Frost. We mentioned him last segment. College football can save itself with a couple of things here. One, quarantining their players, keeping them on lockdown, which they have a better ability to do than the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
If the players want to do it, they agree to it. If they don't want to play football and they don't want to agree to it, they don't feel safe, then you can go home.
Yes.
Your scholarship won't be impacted. You still get it.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's what football should do.
Yeah.
No, your scholarship is not in danger if you don't think it's right for you.
Yeah.
No, we'll still pay for your schooling.
Correct.
So you want to opt out? You can opt out. That's fine. This is about college football trying to save themselves right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let them opt out. Keep them quarantined. The problem is going to be if they're on campuses where school is happening.
Yeah, and you get the regular population and you have to, you're on campus, classes in person. That's
other students.
Stuff you can't avoid.
Right?
Right.
I mean, there's just going to be this. If they're on campuses with a bunch of other students, you're going to run into problems.
And you just are.
And most it's going to be broken down very quickly.
Most of these programs have their own separate eating areas anyway. So you could say, hey, you're not going to do meals on campus. You're going to do meals here in our training table. We're going to take care of all the meals, all the snacks at night. It's going to be open. We're going to keep it open longer than usual. And we're going to house you in this one specific dorm. And we're going to do it this way. And that's how we're going to play football.
And put a detail.
And you're going to wear masks. You're going to wear shields when you go to class and goggles. Or
no, no, there can't be any going to class. That's it. You got to be remote
they
learning.
Keep remote
you can't go to class.
Then go remote.
That's not a bubble. If you want to maintain the bubble, there is no class. All your learning is remote. If your school is happening, there's no class. There's no going to the dining hall with all the other students.
Right.
There's no going to parties. There's none of it. You are going to be locked down. That's the only way it's going to work.
Yeah, we'll
that's
get
the only way
in.
That the teams are going to want to do it.
We'll get 10 games
Their
in.
Conferences are going to want to do yep. it. And there is a case to be made that these players would be safer at school playing football than they would be going home. There is. I don't know that the NCAA or its institutions give a damn because I think they're more concerned with who can sue us. That's what I think they're concerned with.
Yeah, they worry.
Who's
going to
hold
line.
Us liable? It's about liability. It's not about what's actually good for the kid. There is a case to be made. You would be safer as a college football player at your campus, locked down with your teammates,
yep.
than you would be going home.
Yep.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Right?
No, yeah. I think it's the same thing we talked about with Harbaugh and Saban. I mean, they make a compelling case for that. I don't know if it's what's best for overall public health. I don't know if it makes sense on a macro scale, but for those people involved on that team and for those people playing, just staying there and doing that thing, yes. What happens when you got to go play another team? Are you still as safe? Safe well, right now.
No, your assumption is that every team is going and doing the same thing.
Similar protocol, right.
That every team adopts those protocols.
And also from a money standpoint, too, you're going to be making your university a lot of money. Because the football machine is the money making machine for most universities.
But just the sheer math of it, Beetle, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are able to, have these low numbers among a coaching staff, player, personnel, trainer of whatever the numbers that Harbaugh used, a few hundred, right?
when you meet up with another team, you're just introducing that many more people into your circle or into your bubble for the day, right? So the positive cases are going to go up. If they manage to play and they manage to rework a schedule, and whether it's the SEC or some conference, whatever success they're having on their own at their home stadium and their home training facilities and just practicing and doing scrimmages amongst themselves, you can guarantee that the positive test rate is going to go up. But if it's not significant, I don't blame them for wanting to do it. I don't blame anybody for wanting to play and wanting to do what they do. Of course. But I don't think it's reasonable to say, well, if Alabama had a total of 2 positive tests over the course of the last month and LSU had a total of 2 positive tests over the last, you get these two together and no one's positive. We're not going to affect anybody. It's just, you increase the number, you increase the exposure. This isn't a perfect system of testing and quarantining and bubbling. Somebody's going to be exposed. Someone's going to transfer it to somebody else. And the odds of that happening increase with the number of people. Why do you think we're limiting indoor and outdoor gatherings? It's the number of people. That's the main thing. So you get two teams together, you're doubling that number. So we all want them to do it, but I don't think you can say, well, look, it's, you're not having any positive cases. They won't have any. Yeah, they're going to. They will.
So reading from a number of people that cover college sports full time, including Nicole Auerbach, I mentioned her yesterday at The Athletic. There is other factors to keep in mind. She tweeted 2 minutes ago. One thing to keep in mind as ADs and presidents make decisions to postpone fall sports is, well, the non-football sports. One AD brought up how field hockey was down to 6 games to play, soccer 8 or 9. Quote, that just doesn't feel good to have that constitute a season. And so it's not just about football. They can't say football's going to happen and the other sports aren't. They can't do that. There are Title IX concerns, all kinds of things that impact that. And so that has to be sort of factored in as well. They're not a business. As much as they act like one, as much money as they make,
NCAA tournament, they're not a business.
They've got some things that do govern them that other entities do not. So it's not about just bringing back the football team. You got to bring back all the fall sports teams.
It's just funny because I remember at the beginning of this one when the NCAA tournament got canceled and that you found out that that's 95% of the revenue that the NCAA tournament brings in for colleges. That's where they make their money. That's the biggest moneymaker, more so than bowl games. It's amazing. And to say, hey, we're not a moneymaker, we're not a business. Yeah, you are a business.
Harry's on the Cape. Harry.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. Harry.
Hey, so I've been listening, you know. I listen every day. You're pretty good. The show's good. But so, is it about college or is it about football? All right? Be serious now.
Be serious what? These kids
be serious about what you're talking about. Because it's you're saying to me, if they suspend football, that these kids are going to leave and they're going to go home and they're going to make sure they spread corona because they're going
Nobody said they're going to make sure that they spread corona. They have been locked down for over 2 months training.
No, but that's what you said. If they're not locked down and they suspend the season, that these selfish athletes would go home and head to the beaches of Jacksonville.
Or Florida. Yes.
Yeah, that's not good. They're not. The vaccine will be here in October and November. Yeah, it will be. Okay. It will be.
Listen, I can't wait for that.
Fauci. No, I can't wait either. But that's the truth. And so it's talking to you and listening to you, and you sound very good, but you're saying it's not about college, about football. So if I was a kid and I busted my ass and I got into Notre Dame.
Yep. If you're a 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid from Notre Dame, keep going. Yep.
Yeah, and I got into Notre Dame, but I didn't get a football scholarship. And guess what? They just sent me a letter that says, oh, you can't come to campus. But the football team's there. The football team's there, and they're practicing like crazy. And we're going to quarantine them. And we're going to give them their own cafeteria because it's about the money. It's about football.
Yes. Yeah, Notre Dame, yeah.
Getting a vaccine in October?
That's great.
That's the Russian vaccine.
I saw that today.
Yeah, yeah. 300 people. Are, yeah,
people injecting it already.
Lining up.
Putin's daughter got it.
We just need 30,000 more, and then we'll have a pretty good rating.
It's produced by Clorox. Yeah. Kidding. Joke. Okay, 617-779-0985.
Real quick on that.
What?
Okay, so the point is you're an 18 to 21-year-old kid in that range. You haven't had your summer because you're on scholarship. They've locked you down for the last 2 months. They just canceled your season, and the coach is telling you, okay, guys, that's it. Nothing more we can do. What are you going to do as a kid? You're going to go home. You're going to see your family. You're going to see your friends. You're going to see people you haven't seen for over 2 months. And you're going to go do kid things, whether that's go to the beach, maybe get a job, maybe go to cookouts, maybe hang out, maybe travel a little bit. What do you think? They're going to go home and sit in a room?
Definitely not.
No. It's remember not. When you were 18, 19? You like to go to the beach with
there
your
was,
friends?
There
a
wasn't
beach
a
house?
Pandemic at that point.
Right.
But, you know.
Right. And I'm not saying they're intentionally going there to spread it, but the point is they're going to put themselves in environments to where they could have a higher potential to get this virus as opposed to being locked down in a quarantine.
Hey, so you know the items you opened yesterday?
Yeah.
Did you put them in Jim's office?
I did on his desk okay, with the letters, yes.
All right, we're going to go open some more boxes next.
Ooh.
Let's do it.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
When it comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jim Louth has a new office here at the Sports Hub with 36 oddly shaped shelves.
Yeah,
we got a box.
And with that being the case, we have requested you send him your useless memorabilia of all kinds.
We got a box!
I'm going to open it.
Kevin Youkilis broken back when he was a rookie with the Lowell Spinners.
No!
Happy Gilmore, Bruins jersey.
Okay, I like that. That's a good one.
Oh, what's in the box?
Autographed hit dog picture.
Oh, that's nice.
No!
Massachusetts Pirates towel. Autographed game puck signed by number 16, Marco Sturm.
You lie!
Yes, that's exactly the type of thing we need.
Hot autographed framed photo of number 35, Manny Fernandez. Goalie.
Jesus. Perfect.
What's in the box?
Kane's mayonnaise.
No!
Good things come in small packages.
Dondo has the upper hand.
Oh, I thought you were going to have something ready there, T-Bone. There we go. Nick Jamelli created that intro for us for What's in the Box. So there we go.
No bet on that?
See, T-Bone can't handle anyone else producing anything for the show.
Nothing wrong with that. He takes ownership of the production.
I thought it was very good.
I like that.
All right.
Thank you, Nick. Yeah. Appreciate that.
You can have the music. Do we have our unboxing music ready to go?
A music bed of some sort?
I think Tighten Up would have been a nice juxtaposition to that, right, if you had it ready to go. Uh-huh.
All right. Well, with that, let's start opening things. Again. Corporate Jim Louth at 98.5 The Sports. He's not here today. He'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, I have two boxes over here. I got to get the other one. Hold on.
Yeah. Jim Louth, 55 Morrissey Boulevard, Dorchester, Mass. 02125. I do appreciate everyone who has addressed them to Corporate Jim Louth. Thank you. We didn't ask for that, but you've done that. This is an Amazon package that I just opened up. It is a Bob Ross bobblehead, but not just a Bob Ross bobblehead, Hardy. It's a Bob Ross bobblehead with sound.
Oh.
Oh.
Maybe little bunny trailer.
We prefer the bobbleheads with sound.
Right.
So
stereo sound.
I don't know. It doesn't have a note in it, though, so I can't thank. There's no note inside. No packing slip. But thank you to whoever it is that sent that along. Nice. Next, Zoe.
Okay. I have a regular letter addressed to James Louth's office. Care of James Louth. 98.5 The Sports Hub. A lot of junk in here. Let me see. Ooh, old school here. This is too long even to read. I'm not even going to attempt to read
letters,
it.
Letters, just fan mail.
Look how long this is. Like, look at the explanation of this.
That's
like,
a lot.
Who writes that? Who has time to do this? So this is from Jim Daly. There's an NCAA championship pin from the 1992 NCAA tournament. There's a money clip from the Bay State Bombardiers. And looks like a pledge pin. Nope. It's a horse having sex with a...
No, it's not.
What an elephant pin! This no, is great! Look at this.
The old horse and elephant
right
sex pin.
That. Zoom right in on that.
Yeah, we already got a couple of those. I don't know that they're going to zoom in on that.
Yeah, they are. There it is, though. Where? Put it back up.
Oh, there it is. Good. Come on.
Go to Zoe's camera.
Come on. Zoe's camera.
Zoe's camera.
Oh.
You got it? Of course, it's banging
the not a good, not a good idea.
Letter here from Joe the Horror Lewis says, hey guys, longtime listener. I'm an independent pro wrestler in Maine, and I couldn't think of any memorabilia more useless than this merchandise. A wrestler you've never heard of, including the book I wrote. Also, an autographed Wes Chamberlain card. And that's what you need right there. Jim will love that.
All right.
Wes Chamberlain, when he was with the Phillies.
This from Todd Newton. Started watching and listening to the show a few months ago when he started working from home. He's got a bunch of random sports items in here, including mini baseball helmets, a couple of pucks from the college hockey teams he worked for, and baseballs that are autographed, and he has no idea who they're autographed by.
Feels like a clean out there.
Yeah. Well, he says if anybody could help him identify the signatures on these.
I'll take a look.
Yeah. I don't know if that means anything to you.
I have a correction.
This one looks...
Oh, correction?
Yeah.
What is it, Zoe?
It's actually a donkey banging an elephant. It's a Democrat giving it to a Republican.
I like that pin. Let me see that.
It's from Joe in Delaware.
It's just love. It's a lot of love.
Perfect.
Oh, we got old Barry Bonds, Jose Canseco cards in here, Beetle. You're probably going to like these.
I might.
Dewey Evans.
It's a good one.
All right, you can go through these, see what they're worth. Stewie Griffin.
Got another one here from Randy in Mansfield.
Hi,
says,
Randy.
If the shirt doesn't please Hardy, then nothing will.
Wow.
Also, a ticket stub to honor the C's greats from my previous package. Okay, he's already sent one. Randy in Marshfield's already sent us goods. He's got a nice ticket stub from the inaugural season at the Fleet Center, but he's got this for Hardy.
What is that?
I don't know what that means.
It's a wrestling t-shirt. It says Mr. Ass. Mr. Kiss Ass.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Right?
This comes from Josh Rizzotti.
Okay.
Plastow, New Hampshire.
Yep.
Definitely in a smoker's household.
I smell like cigarettes.
It is an
cigarettes and cat pee.
Autographed mini helmet. I don't know if you can identify
autographed
this.
Autographed by?
Curtis Martin.
That's,
whoa!
That's good.
It's a Hall of Famer.
Jim will love that one.
And I don't know what that
I'll be able
signature
to tell.
Is there.
I'll be able to tell.
Starts with a V.
It's probably something Zoe signed.
Probably Vinatieri. No.
Vincent Brisby.
Vincent Brisby?
No. Just
what number, Hardy?
Is there a number?
81?
81.
No, Brisby was 82.
82.
Might be 82. You take a look at it. Nice. Thanks, yeah. Joel. Nice.
Okay.
Josh. Excuse me, Josh.
I have a nice letter here. Real nice letter from Susan. Susan has perfect penmanship because she typed it all. I'm saving this letter for my kids. This is how you write. Look at the letter. She dates it at the top. Dear Jim, so happy to have this that I could add to your collection. It is a signed, framed Gary Guyton in the throwback uniform against
good.
The Vikings.
Wow. Like that.
Gary Guyton. Remember Gary Guyton?
Yeah.
Wasn't he the guy that, wasn't Gary the guy that went one way when Ray Rice cut it back against the green first snap of the Baltimore playoff game? Wild card year.
Oh my god!
That game was like 21-0 in like 5 minutes.
First play
in.
From you know, scrimmage,
82 yeah. yards.
Gary Guyton overran it. Gary Guyton wasn't there for the cutback.
Yeah,
I like that one. Very nice, Susan.
All right.
We good?
Oh, I got one more.
Oh, Zoe's got one more.
Like messing up everywhere.
Zoe's like...
Oh.
Jesus. Zoe's like the one guy in Christmas who doesn't open his presents fast enough and he still has gifts left over. Everyone else just sitting around. I got really more good presents.
But if you get a really good gift, you want to play with that.
I know. I'm the same way.
Good. Here. Oh, this is heavy. Jesus Christ. This. We have a paper mache clown. Oh, this is for T-Bone because he's a clown.
Oh, my God.
This says T-Bone.
That's terrifying. What is that?
This is weird. This is something like you find at one of those Halloween stores. Happy Halloween. That's right, T-Bone.
By the way, that does appear to be a Vincent.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We'll be talking some Patriots this hour. Start of the day talking about college football. 617-779-0985. Jeff in Nashua has been hanging on. That didn't sound good. Let's try that again. Jeff, you there?
Yeah. Hey, you guys. How you doing? Just want to make a comment. I mean, I think these conferences, if they had thought about a couple months ago, they can bubble up by conference. I mean, Miami can host the ACC. There's plenty of Texas high school stadiums that can, the SEC or the Big Ten can play in, and there's other places that the Big 12 could play in too. And to your point, Beatle, a little while ago, I do think that it's better to have the kids with the structure playing football as opposed to being on campus not playing football, and as far as the spread that way. But there has to be a way for these guys to be able to play. And I know the other sports are saying that why does football get to play and we don't? Well, I mean, the football money funds these kids full scholarships to go to school. So it has to be a little bit of an understanding there. But I think these conferences should be, the Power Five should be able to bubble up somewhere and figure out a way to play. Thanks, guys.
Okay. But it's not just about accept it. I mean, Title IX will probably interfere with that.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to play one sport, you've got to play them all.
But I agree with that.
It's just one of the obstacles here. You know what I feel like though with college football?
What?
They're making their decisions and trying to plan for this far too late. Like, this part is true. It's August 11th, and they have no idea what they're doing.
And this is the sad part of not having that one senior leadership across the board, right? When we talk about commissioners in the pro sports.
I get it, but does anybody plan properly?
Hold on. Yes, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma was way ahead of this thing when this all started. He was open to
everything. I'm talking about a conference.
No, not in collection,
I'm talking about a conference who has it figured out.
No, there are teams that have it figured out.
Yeah, but like Hardy was saying, is a team that's great, but you also operate with other teams.
Right, or you could be an a-hole like Steve Adazio and fake report things.
Oh, what a story.
We haven't talked about that jack wagon.
Talk about it right now.
What an a-hole. Guy was an a-hole from day one when he was here.
There it
Steve
is.
Steve Adazio, was at Colorado State?
Yes.
I think he's where he's at. Encouraging his kids.
I don't think he's going to be there long.
Yeah, you don't have to wear masks. Just, we're going to misreport all the numbers. Yeah, just take the test. We're reporting negative. You're going to be a football guy. We're going to watch some film. Another freaking moron.
There are players that...
That's the guy. See, but no, real quick.
Go ahead.
That's the type of guy that ruins the damn sport. It puts a bad name on it. Meathead snot blower. We're just going to do it the way we do it because we're hard-nosed football players. You could do it and be smart about it. There's schools that have done it. That guy just doesn't care about kids. Cares about himself. That's the way it's been from day one with him. Not enough bad things could happen with him at BC. That's all. Reached out to that guy to come down and talk football. Too busy watching film today in the spring. Yeah. Tough to drive.
This all goes back.
Quarter of a mile.
This all goes back
to Steve
Adazio
invite. We'll take Whip
any day.
Come on in, Whip. We'll take you for 2 hours. Drive from Amherst. Sure, guys.
The Steve Adazio invite
that we extended.
We used to work at the base of the hill by BC. This guy was too busy, too busy, too busy. Talk BC football. Oh, we'll try. Your head coach won't give us a time of day.
We said, guys, we'll talk about your team. We'll talk about BC.
Yeah.
Can the coach come over?
Summertime. It's slow time.
Can he come over?
Yeah, want to promote the program.
It's summer. We don't have a lot going on. We'd love to talk football.
Coach busy in meetings.
And he wouldn't do it.
Ed Ogeron would have.
He wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So.
Hardo.
Sorry, BC. Sorry, BC. I'm sorry.
Good luck, Colorado State, with that guy.
I'm sorry about all of it.
Yeah. Well, they're led by better people now. They're good things for those kids now in that program.
BC and Syracuse are like the last two teams in this neck of the woods that have any hope of anything. That's it. Everyone else is shut down. Not that there's that many schools, but with big programs.
Yeah. Jim Boeheim has spoken out on this too. Like, why can't we push forward with this and do it the smart way?
Well, that's a good point too. Basketball should be planning right now for how they're going to do things.
Like, you're telling us right now that, you know, potentially, like, we can't have a better handle on this in 3 months. Like, give me a break.
Doesn't that make sense though? Basketball should be on top of things right now. NBA's how do we make the year happen?
Well, you keep meaning to tell me you can't learn anything from what the NBA's done?
They have a lot less people to manage. Lot less people to manage and figure out. Let's talk about the Patriots. They made a signing yesterday.
They did.
Veteran running back Lamar Miller to New England. What it means next.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.